Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up!
Co-host right now, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
How do I sound? Because I spent a whole lot of money on a new pair of headsets, so hopefully it won't sound as shitty as it's been the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's we've done some bad radio the last few weeks. Hopefully we can turn it around.
We've done awesome radio. It's just there's always these little sound things that kind of screw up.
We've done good radio. We just haven't had the proper equipment to do good radio.
But I have a bone to pick with you, Craig.
Of course you do. What?
Yeah. Well, I was happening to listen to the show from last week to see how it all sounded, and I noticed while I was gone that someone made the comment.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the comment was one of the most overrated families in wrestling. And I am very appalled. I am very angry. I am very insulted. And I expect you to apologize not only to me and to Matt Clary and to Kevin Von Erich and the spirit and soul of all the other Von Erichs. I expect you to apologize right now.
I respectfully apologize with my fingers crossed. No, we're just goofing on anybody. It was all goofing on you, not the Von Erich family. I promise you that.
Okay. Well, I'll take you at your word and let it slide this time. Now Couture, on the other hand, he's going to get bitched out a little bit himself.
Well, I can't speak for Couture, mostly because I don't have a southern drawl.
But it's kind of funny because did you actually book our guest before the news broke of his fellow contestant, or is this just kind of like coincidence that tough enough alumni have been in the news?
I hit it. You remember last week I said I will double my efforts to find us a guest and make two emails. I sent like four and got two responses, and the listeners will be very pleased with our guest here in a few weeks, but no, he got back to me right away, and like the next day, everything went down, and he sent me a list of all his upcoming dates, and he also said, "Thanks for offering to plug my upcoming shows. Look forward to the interview, and just a suggestion, I think it'd be fun to discuss Ariane Andrews, aka the Funkadelic Cameron Lynn's recent run-in with the law, smiley face, AJ."
Oh, yes, to know that's coming.
Oh yeah, and make sure you throw it to me. I've got a intro for AJ. He should be calling any minute.
Okay. Hopefully we'll get lucky when he calls and we'll get the right introduction, because it would sure suck if you did an intro and it's some goofball like Alex Goff or somebody calling.
Yeah, I'm always nervous when our guests actually call in. It just doesn't happen all that often, but hey, Skype is free. I get it.
Yeah. But speaking of Ariane, I guess we could go ahead and start talking about it, because it probably is the biggest, well, besides Punk blading himself and somehow, actually, Craig, I think our guest is calling, so while I'm putting him on the line, can you give us an intro?
Sure thing. Our guest tonight was a contestant on the last edition of WWE's Tough Enough, and while he did not win or become a Funkadactyl, he has never lost his job because of steroids or tried to bribe a cop to get out of a DUI arrest. Please welcome to the show, AJ Kirsch.
How's it going, AJ?
Ariane has not yet lost her job yet, so.
Well, not yet.
Not yet, but, I mean, you know, one can only assume, and it really sucks that it has to come to that, too, so.
True.
Yeah, yes, thanks for
having me on the show.
Speaking of, like, I guess we could start with Ariane, since that is kind of like the big news thing. Is we were actually just about to discuss it before you called in. She actually got pulled over and got a DUI, and apparently, like, she tried to bribe one of the police officers, and apparently didn't tell the WWE, and apparently she could be in some hot water. She did appear on one of the shows. I guess yesterday or the day before,
yeah.
But the last one she actually didn't come out. So who knows? I mean, I hope she doesn't lose her job, but I mean, it's a very funny story when you really look at it.
Well, everybody makes mistakes, but that was when you're a part of a company like WWE, everything you do is under a microscope. You're a public figure, and so you really have to take that into consideration when you're making decisions like that. Like, I've been drinking. Maybe it's not the best idea for me to drive home. And then, I mean, it's a tragedy when stuff like that happens. It just kind of makes you shake your head.
Yeah, it's odd that everybody who actually got something out of Tough Enough is not around anymore, looks like.
Yeah, that's a little bit frustrating for guys like me and Eric Watts and Martin Passaus and Matt Cross, who are still all trying to, you know, realize our goals within this business, which is, I mean, speaking only for myself, but I'm sure speaking for Eric Watts and Martin, is to make it to WWE. And so, you know, right after the show, Andy won, so he was under contract. Jeremiah Riggs was offered an opportunity, and he pretty much spit in the face of everyone that was trying to get him to become a part of the company. Luke Robinson had the controversy with the videos. You know, Christina's been let go. Eva Leafs has been let go. And now this thing with Ariane. So, again, it just kind of makes me, Martin, and Eric are kind of sitting back looking at all this like, wow. Like, you know, this is, after all that money and time, the investment of Tough Enough, they've got nothing to show for it.
Yeah, exactly. But AJ, before we get to Tough Enough, let's go ahead and go back a few more years. Could you talk about breaking into the business?
What's that?
Could you talk about breaking into the business?
Yeah. I started started training in October 2003 when I was going to college at CSU Chico, which is about an hour and a half to Sacramento in California. And, you know, I'd always heard, as I'm sure most other professional wrestlers heard, you got to have a backup plan, which was one of the reasons why I was going to college. And, you know, I graduated a year early because I wanted to get a jump start on wrestling, because, your body has an expiration date. It's not going to hold up forever. So I wanted to have all the time I could. And it was hard, man. It was hard balancing the full schedule, full load in college, and then commuting 2 hours round trip 3 days a week for wrestling school. But, you know, not only did I, it was all I cared about at the time was wrestling. And so I found a way to make it work. I got almost straight A's throughout most of my college career. graduated a year early, and then just 2 months after I graduated college, I started wrestling all up and down the West Coast.
Now, did you start at the APW school?
No, I didn't start at the APW school. Even though the All Pro Wrestling Bootcamp has put out a lot of really just top-notch guys and guys that have gone on to sign with the WWE right now, NXT star Garrett Dillon is a graduate of the All Pro Wrestling Bootcamp, and he's there. But I started with a company called Pro Championship Wrestling, PCW. And, they exchanged a lot of talent back and forth with All Pro Wrestling at the time. And so even though I didn't train at All Pro Wrestling, I really felt like that's where I kind of came into my own as a wrestler. I really learned a lot, not just in the ring, but out of the ring, things like backstage etiquette and how shows are put together, what to do, and had to learn the hard way sometimes what not to do.
So we've had Ryan Howe on the show. We've also had Luke on the show a while back, and both of them tell a little bit of a different story on how they got picked up to be in Toughen Up. What's your story?
So the way it all happened for me was, as is usually the case in wrestling, word travels very fast about certain opportunities. And so I was Facebooking one day, and one of my wrestling buddies posted something that WWE was going to relaunch Tough Enough. And, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, and I think everybody who enters something like this, it's always, I'm going to do it, but really, what are the chances of it actually happening? Like, what are the chances that they're actually going to pick me or, you know, want me for the show? So I put together a video, you know, I did the whole, here's me at work and here's me working out. And I mean, you can see it on the Tough Enough website. There. So in wrestling and interviews, I interview my parents and, you know, they talk about my love for wrestling. I talk about my love for wrestling. So I sent it in. And I remember as I'm at the mailbox dropping it in, like, I'm pretty much tossing a snowball into hell.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your growing up,
it's got to be on, you know, when I see. So, and, you know, after I dropped it in a couple of weeks later, I got a phone. What's that?
I think we're having a little bit of problems with the audio. No worries.
Oh, okay. You let me know when to keep going.
I'll go ahead. It cleared up.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, you know, snowball chance in hell if they actually picked me, but somebody had to be on the show, and I think it should be me. And, you know, after I sent in the video, I got a call a few weeks later from a casting company down in L.A. and did some extensive phone interviews. And then after some more extensive phone interviews, they invited me down to L.A. for some in-person interviews. And then they told me to pack as if I was going to be down there for 6 weeks. And so they ended up, as I understand, they ended up flying 28 people down to L.A. 14 of them ended up flying home. And the 14 that didn't fly home were picked for the show. And needless to say, it was the thrill of a lifetime to realize that I had been picked for the show.
Yeah, no doubt. You talked about, you know, your parents talking about your love for wrestling. Who did you look up to and who did you aspire to be when you were younger?
Probably Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
I think almost unanimously among my generation, guys that are now in their mid or late 20s, Shawn Michaels was the man. And, you know, I didn't grow up as a little kid in a whole lot of wrestling. I mean, I was familiar with guys like Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior and Randy Savage, but I didn't really become a full-blown, like, religious fan until about March of 96. And if you remember, that's when Shawn Michaels was doing the whole boyhood dream, going into WrestleMania with Bret Hart. And it was just months before Austin 316 was born. So it was an extremely exciting time to be a fan. And, you know, of course, I would be on Monday nights. Weekends would be horrible because it'd be the last few days before Monday Night Raw. And then I'd be flipping back and forth during commercials between Raw and you know, then when I found out about ECW, that was equally exciting. So it was just a hell of a time to be a fan.
Now, AJ, when you were doing the casting stuff, were you dealing with, like, people from the network, or, like, were any, like, WWE people there that, like, JR or, like, John Laurinaitis, or who were you dealing
with
getting into the show?
Some of the interviews were, I mean, we were interviewed by psychiatrists. We were interviewed by doctors. I mean, with tests. But, yeah, there were people from USA Network. There were people from WWE. John Laurinaitis was amongst those guys. And, you know, they were all there to evaluate, you know, not just our experience with wrestling, because some of the folks on the show had zero experience. But they wanted to see if we'd be a good fit for the show.
Mm-hmm. Now, we actually had Luke on the show one time, and he kind of told us that, like, right off the bat, he kind of felt that something was up with Andy and Christina, that they were kind of getting favoritism. And did you know at the time that they were under contract, or what was your opinion of the treatment toward Andy and Christina?
You know, I didn't realize, and I don't think anybody knew at the time that Andy and Christina were already under contract for the championship WWE development. I didn't notice any favoritism towards either of them, but they were already very much buddy-buddy. Like, they were just always hanging out, always talking and laughing. And so I was just kind of like, how do they know each other so well? Like, they're clearly friends. And nobody else on the show knew anybody. Like, we weren't allowed to even talk to anybody during the entire interview process, because they wanted to capture air acting when I got to the house. So right off the bat, I was just kind of like, okay, this is kind of fishy. And then, you know, the fact that Andy went virtually unnoticed for the entire show and then won, then finding out that he'd been under contract with Florida, I was like, wow,
Yeah. That
was another reason Tough Enough had made me shake my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how did you get along with the rest of the cast members? I mean, like if you watch the show, you kind of look like Luke and Jeremiah, kind of buddy buddy. Did you buddy up with anybody, or who did you get along with? Is there anyone you couldn't stand?
Yeah, actually, me and Eric Watts became really good friends on the show and since the show. They chose in the editing process, they just chose to focus more on Jeremiah's and Luke's bromance, as I called it, still call it. I still think they're really good friends, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you gotta have some friendships, but yeah, the show didn't reflect it. But Eric and I became really good friends, and I really couldn't stand Luke on the show. He was just annoying as all hell. So I tried to avoid him as much as possible, but nobody stood out as particularly annoying or, you know, just agitating.
Now, you've gotten to work, Eric. You've gotten to work, Eric, since, right?
Say that again?
You've gotten to work with Eric since, correct?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten to work with Eric a couple times. Yeah, we've had a blast when we were out there because, you know, we've shared that experience together, a large part of it. And so it's fun to actually get to do what we love to do, because we didn't get to work an entire match throughout the course of the game. We got to, you know, work with each other on drills and such, but we didn't actually get to get in there and tango. So it was good to actually get a chance to do that.
Did you think he was kind of pigeonholed as being lazy and he just kind of fit that role, so that's what they gave him, or –
I don't think Eric is lazy. I think he's a bigger guy, so he's going to blow up faster than most. But there's still, and I think he'll tell you the same thing, there's no excuse for him being in the shape he was in coming up on the show. I don't know if maybe he had an injury or something that he just wasn't telling anybody about, or I don't know if maybe he just hasn't been working out as hard before the show, but... So I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Okay.
Well, he looked like he was in shape, so he might have just kind of like, you know, thought he was in, he must have thought, you know, he might have just thought he was in better shape than he was, you know. And
that too.
Because he looked like a million bucks. I mean, he was like the most probably physically imposing of everyone on the show.
Well, we had no way of knowing what we were in for going into the show. I mean, physically, but as far as the challenges or who we were going to meet, you know, they gave us no idea because they want us to be surprised and caught off guard by the experience. So, you know, it's not like we were handed a list and say, okay, we want you to do these exercises because you're going to be doing this on the show. So, I don't know, maybe he just wasn't training adequately. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to ask you about Rima. Rima went into the show like being the like Miss USA or Miss America. I forgot which one. But did she get any special treatment, or did she have? How was her attitude around the whole thing? Was she cool? Was she hard to deal with?
No.
How was Rima?
You know what? Rima was actually pretty cool, and I give her credit for diving in to learning professional wrestling, you know, as adamantly as she did, because she had zero experience. She's never taken a bump in her life. She lawn darted her very first attempt at a forward roll, as you saw on the show. So she really didn't have a lick of athleticism, but she went in and gave it her best shot. And she, you know, she went in and asked for extra help because she didn't know anything, and the trainers were happy to give it to her. So I give her all the credit in the world for giving it a great effort, but she just had no idea what she was doing. So I didn't think there was any chance that she was going to win.
It's kind of unfortunate that she didn't have the athletic ability, because if anyone, I really thought she looked like a superstar and had, you know, had it maybe worked out a little different, she might have, I thought she probably could have won, but I guess, you know, unfortunately she had no experience and it cost her in the end. But yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of Rima.
Well, she's used to being a superstar. She's Miss USA, and, you know, she was Miss USA, and she did all these, you know, I mean, whatever. I don't even know what Miss USA does, but she did whatever she does. You know, she's a public figure as Miss USA, and she's got to do a lot of events. So she's probably used to a lot of the attention that the WWE superstars get. But as far as in the ring goes, she was just, you know, she had nothing.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the training, you got the training, you know, from Trish Stratus, Booker T, Bill DeMont. How did you get along with the trainers?
I got along with the trainers great for the most part. You know, I was raised, and a lot of the other guys that are raised within wrestling, you know, you're taught yes sir, no sir. You know, you're taught to be humble. You're taught to shut your mouth, just hold like a sponge. And for the most part, that's what we did. But I think it kind of bit some of us in the ass, especially a guy like Matt Cross, who's been all over the world and is one of the most well-and accomplished independent wrestlers ever. And it blows me away that he's not signed by somebody. But, you know, if you go back and look at his elimination, he asked Stone Cold Steve Austin for permission to speak. And, you know, as respectful as that is, I think as far as the show goes, they were looking for somebody to just kind of nut up to Steve. And when he asked for permission to speak, I think he sealed his fate. But that's only because he was doing what he thought he should have done. He was talking to, you know, arguably the greatest icon to ever lace a pair of boots.
Right.
Yeah, that was some gripping television when Matt got eliminated, because, like, me and most people had, you know, we would never have dreamt that he would have got cut. He was one of the most experienced guys and one of the better guys, and just right off the bat, second show, he got cut because of it. I mean, it really was kind of a shock, and that it made for great TV, but unfortunately, you know, poor Matt kind of, you know, it didn't work out for him. But I hear
right.
He's still working. He still works a lot, so, I mean, hopefully one day he'll maybe get on.
I mean, he's traveling all over the world. He's making his living as a wrestler. So, you know, for all the guys that are able to do that, I applaud them. And they're, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for that kind of hustle and drive. And, you know, there were some times actually during the show it didn't make the show, but Matt and I would actually get in the ring prior to training, and you know, we'd wrestle for probably 6-7 minutes straight, and you know, have little mini matches, and I hope it's not the last time Matt and I get in a ring.
Go ahead, Chris.
Out of all the other contestants, besides yourself, of course, who was the best guy or girl in the ring, and like who was the lightest, and who could you kind of see as breaking out?
I felt like Martin and I gelled really well. We're very similar in size and strength and speed, and so we can just, I mean, there's so much we can do. You know, actually, truth be told, Luke and I did really well in the ring as well. You know, there's just, it was just easy to work with him. He's a natural heel, and it's easy to play off of that. So, you know, and again, I don't know what either of their futures are, but I hope it's not the last time that I get in the ring with either of them.
Right. And where would you put Christina in that list?
No comment.
Now, we did have to ask you about what happened on the show. It was kind of funny because Christina hurt Evelise, but they didn't really make a big deal about her hurting her on the show. But there was the accident where she came off, and it clearly was not your fault, but you got the blame on the show, or that's how they edited it. And can you just give us your thoughts on that whole situation?
Here's how I feel about that. When you've got Steve Austin, Bill DeMott, Booker T, and Trish Stratus saying, here's what you should have done, who am I to say, nuh-uh. Like, they've forgotten more about pro wrestling than I'll probably ever know. So, you know, I listen to them, and I have no reason not to believe anything they say, you know what I mean? But it's funny you bring up Christina hurting Evelise, because Evelise is like 5 foot nothing, and Christina couldn't even leapfrog over Evelise. So I was intentionally a little bit closer to that turnbuckle because I knew Christina had absolutely zero hops, none. So whatever she was coming up the top rope with, and I didn't know if it was going to be a crossbody or a double axe or whatever, I just knew that she's not going to be able to go halfway across the ring. So I was a little bit closer than I otherwise would have been had I been in there with somebody like Luke or Martin or even Evelise, because Evelise can actually go. I don't think Christina can, and I never saw anything to prove otherwise. So I was a little bit closer than I otherwise would have been, and she came down with a double axe and landed awkwardly on her ankle and broke her ankle. And, you know, part of that is my fault, or I'm sorry, sprained her ankle, but part of that's my fault because I was a little bit closer and she needed more room to land. But again, had I been any further away, I don't know if she would have reached me.
That was nice of you to say it that way. There was no way that was your fault.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Now speaking of Evelise, I thought she was looking good on the show until she did get hurt, and it ended up costing her to get eliminated. My understanding is she was, like, looking very, very, very good in FCW, like one of the top workers there and probably good enough to be on the roster, and she's very beautiful. I was actually very disappointed that they cut her. I mean, I really thought she actually had a future and was going to be, you know, one of the ones to break out from the show.
I agree completely with everything you said. I think, like I said, she was by far the most talented female on Tough Enough. She was the only one in there that could actually get a go. And, you know, I too thought that she had a very bright future with the WWE. So I was pretty happy for her to hear that she got signed. I don't know why she's, but so I mean, I don't know, but I would be very surprised if it's the dilemma we see Evelise involved with the WWE.
Now, when during toughing up, you guys, besides wrestling training, you guys had to do a lot of other crazy stuff, like having attack dogs attack you and do like stuff on roller skates. What was going through your mind when you had to go through some of those wacky stunts? And was there anyone that was your favorite?
Hang on 1 second. It's getting a little noisy.
Oh, no problem.
Still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. It just got a little noisy where I'm at right now for a moment.
No worries.
What was going on? Jeez. I mean, some of the stuff I was in a little, kind of a panic. Like, I was like, God damn it, I can't roller skate. Like, I've never been chased by an attack dog. I've never done cheerleading in my life. Like, some of the stuff I realized it was just reality show. Like, hey, let's see what we can make them do, and let's see if we can make them look ridiculous, which they did. Thank you so much. I get it. Like, the stunts that we were doing, they wanted to see how we threw ourselves into it. And so it's easy to be like, oh, crap, I can't roller skate. I'm going to suck at this. But it's also the idea is to, oh, I can't roller skate, but let's see how much fun I can make this. So, I mean, it was crazy, but it was, you know, it was just part of the whole experience that made it so special.
Yeah, I mean, I think my favorite one was the attack dogs.
Yeah, that one especially cranked up the adrenaline a little bit. When you know that you've got a bloodthirsty animal tracking you down, that's running a lot faster than you ever could. There's really no, other than having Stone Cold Steve Austin staring a hole through my face, that was probably the most nervous I've ever been on the show.
Now, speaking of Stone Cold, you know, basically the show built every week to the end of the show where Stone Cold would evaluate the bottom three. And you actually went a lot of weeks before you were even in that category. But, it, you know, on TV, it only lasts maybe 4 or 5 minutes, but I believe, like, Luke and Skidmore, they were both on the show. They both told us that it was actually, like, a lot longer. And can you just talk about the experience of being on the bottom three and having Stone Cold, as you say, staring a hole down at you?
Down there. They'd get us into the training center. The lighting would be, you know, it'd be completely dark except for, like, one lone spotlight on the ring. The bottom three would be standing in the ring, and then Steve would come through those double doors, and he'd take about 2 minutes to get into the ring. He would pace around us for about another 2 or 3 minutes, and it seemed like an hour. And then the whole process from beginning to end was like, so it was just, a lot of it was just standing there, trying not to crap my pants, trying to think of something to save myself, but... And it's this kind of thing where it's like, you really have never going to react until you're in that situation. Like, I can't even count the number of times where I'd watch reality TV and I'd be like, oh, well, here's what I should have done. He's an idiot. But until you're actually in that situation, you really have no idea how you're going to react.
Then now, how long did the speeches actually last? I mean, how much did they edit it down, and how much did he actually, like, yell at you guys?
Like I said, top to bottom was probably an hour long. From the time that we walked into the training center, the time where somebody, that was probably a good hour, maybe more.
Well, okay.
One of the most entertaining things I saw on the show was the night the Divas came and basically kidnapped you guys. Can you talk a little bit about partying with the WWE Divas?
Yeah, that did not suck. That was a very pleasant because at the time, we needed a little something to pick up our spirits. And a visit from the WWE Divas will do just that. And not only did we get visited by the Divas, but We had the limo for us. It was champagne on the way to dinner. We had dinner. I mean, I got a kiss on the cheek from Kelly Kelly, which I still blush about every time I bring it up. So it was a good, good night. Very good night.
Sweet.
How did they treat you guys in general? I mean, did they give you that kind of treatment a lot, or were they kind of hard on you guys to see how you guys would react? How was the treatment in general from everyone from the WWE?
When we were visited by superstars, it was always very serious. It was yes or no, sir. It was, you know, listen very attentively and intently to what they were saying and show them that you're listening and show them that you can be coachable. Some of them were obviously a little bit less stringent than others. I mean, Stacey Keibler was all smiles and laughing, and, you know, the Divas were too. And, even John Cena lightened up a little bit after we all got to talking. But, you know, guys like Big Show and guys like Bret Hart, it was a learning process.
Hey, Gary, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I got silent for a second. I wanted to ask you, like, you had mentioned about Jeremiah when he went to the FCW and he kind of blew it over the weekend. What were your thoughts on Jeremiah? Because he was one of the more, you know, bigger characters of the show.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I think he had a future with the WWE had he chosen to pursue it. Jeremiah is an unbelievable athlete. He's very charismatic, and he's a really nice guy. He's down to earth, and he's, you know, he's not out to screw anybody over, but he's, you know, at the same time, very competitive. And I just think it's a shame the way that he and WWE parted ways. I didn't realize he had that kind of resentment or animosity toward Bill or FCW or anybody else. So, I think he may have been a fan of wrestling, but I don't think he has the passion for it the way that guys like me and guys like Matt Cross and Eric Watts have.
Mm-hmm. Now, you make it to the end and you're let go. But how has the wrestling business been to you since you got off the show? Has it been a benefit? I mean, what benefits have you received from being on the show?
I've been working a lot more. It's a lot easier to get a booking. Once you've been a part of a vehicle for the WWE. So I'm meeting, you know, at least once a week, sometimes two or three times. It's cool when people are like, oh yeah, you were on Tough Enough. Can I get a picture? Can I get an autograph? Like, if somebody asks you for a picture or an autograph, like you're doing okay. And it's, you know, it's my little claim to fame right now, which is more than a lot of guys can say. But, like I said on the show, it's by no means the end, and I'm still working my ass off to get signed by WWE. I'm not going to stop until I do.
It kind of seems like you've been working, except for like maybe like Evelise and the ones that were at FCW, but it seems to me like you're the one that's been working the most and the hardest, and I hear your name out there doing shows quite a bit.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, it's easy to say, hey, I won Tough Enough, I'm in, or, you know, I got signed, you know, just a few months later, or whatever the case is, but, you know, I have not yet gotten to where I want to be. And so, I'm not stopping. Like, just because I didn't win Tough Enough or just because I wasn't signed a year after doesn't mean I'm going to quit. And right now I feel like I have more momentum on my side than ever. And so there's just no reason for me to look back. I'm looking forward.
Now, just a few weeks ago, you got to wrestle the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. How cool was that?
That was really cool. Because I also got to team with Alex Shelley. And I got to tell you, it's been world. I got to wrestle guys who have worked all over the world, so it was a great learning experience.
Where was this match at?
This was at the Butte County Fair in Gridley, California, which is actually only about a half hour away from where I first started training.
Now, how did that match come about, by the way? I'm just curious how that the IWGP champion would be defended, you know, over here.
Well, the promotion that was running the event, Sacramento Wrestling Federation, they were promoting a joint venture with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And so New Japan did a tryout. They held a tryout, and a lot of Northern California's best talent was there. And, you know, they were looking at talent. They were scouting talent. And so we ran a show with, you know, a couple guys from their roster, including Kushida and, Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov, the IWGP Junior Tag Champs. So it was a great opportunity to showcase our talents in front of the powers that be at New Japan. And, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that I might be hearing from them sometime soon.
I mean, hopefully you will. I mean, that must have been an awesome experience. And how do you feel the match went? How do you feel your performance was?
I'm very happy with it. And I got a lot of positive feedback from both guys within FWF and New Japan. So unless they were, you know, blowing smoke up my ass, then I'm hoping that it'll lead to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading something on the internet, so I'm not about that you actually have a tag team victory over the New Age Outlaws.
That's correct. Yeah, actually, it's a pretty cool story. I was probably a little less than a year in the business, and I was one half of the All Pro Wrestling tag team champions with Nate Rules, and together we formed a team called Ego. And it was in Bakersfield at the Bakersfield Dome on the night of my birthday. And it was, you know, they were set to win, but you know, they were like, hey, you know, this is your promotion, why don't we put you guys over? And they were awesome to work with. They were very easy to work with. It was an incredibly fun match. I ended up getting the pinfall over Billy Gunn to score the victory. So being that green in the business and getting to work with guys that I grew up watching on my birthday of all nights was just a dream come true.
Wow, that sounds pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Speaking of dreams coming true, how cool is it to have The Rock praise your promo skills?
when I die and my life flashes before my eyes, that's going to be one of the moments that's in slow motion. That's how cool that was. And it was just surreal. It's still surreal to think about it, that it actually happened. But, you know, like I said, that's one of the things that I can take with me. It was one of the coolest moments of my life.
Yeah, definitely. It's a cool moment watching at home, too, I'll tell you that.
Well, thank you.
Cool. After all is said and done, what can you give us on final thoughts on Tough Enough?
Tough Enough was probably one of the greatest learning experiences of my life. It was also one of the most exhausting, but, you know, it's just Ann Lobby, who still strives to make their living within this business. I can't look unfavorably on anything that happened on the show because I learned so much. I got to work with people who I grew up watching, idols of mine, and, you know, I experienced moments that I literally had to remind myself out loud that I wasn't dreaming. So as a whole, the experience was, I mean, I have a hard time even putting it into words, but all it did was it was a wake-up call more than anything else, because now more than ever, I feel like I know what I need to do to actually have a future with the WWE. Had I stayed on the course I was on as I came into Tough Enough, there's no way it would have happened. But right now, Like I said, I've got so much momentum on my side, and you know, I'm closer than ever to actually turning into enough. Enough was just, just a part of the journey is far from over.
Cool. Well, hopefully it'll all work out. Craig, would you got any final questions, or would you like to start to wrap up?
I'll take this opportunity to plug AJ's upcoming dates. Tomorrow he's going to be working for All Pro Wrestling Gym Wars at the APW Garage. That is tomorrow in Hayward, California. Next Friday, the 7th, he's going to be working for Hood Slam. And, Ed, you might want to write this on your calendar. It says, full bar and 420 friendly. Don't bring your effing kids, it says.
Yeah. So, that's one of the mantras of Hood Slam is don't bring your effing kids. It is not for kids.
So that is in Oakland, California. The very next night, he'll be working Lucha Extreme, a TV taping in Fresno. And on the 22nd of this month, Gold Rush Pro Wrestling at the Lacey Middle School in Pacifica, California. So check out AJ on Facebook, and I'm sure he has Twitter and all that. So look him up on your social media networks.
Yeah, AJ, go ahead and give us your Twitter and all that.
What's that?
Go ahead and could you go ahead and give us your Twitter and all the other things you're on?
Oh yeah. Facebook.com/AJ Kirsch, Twitter at AJ Kirsch, that's KIRSCH, and YouTube.com/IAmAJKirsch. Oh, and I'm on Tout now. WWE's doing the Tout thing. I'm also on Tout at AJ.
Well, maybe we'll see you on Raw in a week or two.
A week or two will be freaking fantastic. But like I said, I mean, I'm keeping a close eye on everything the WWE is involved with. So if they're doing Tout, I'm doing Tout.
Cool. Well, AJ, I have just one real quick question before we let you go. You brought up APW at some of the shows you're working. Does Roland Alexander still run APW?
Oh, yeah. It is Roland Alexander's APW, and it probably will be until the day he dies.
Cool. I'll never forget Beyond the Mat. I mean, I'm one of the biggest Beyond the Mat fans, and he was a big part of that movie.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear that he's still running the shows. I wasn't aware that he was still in charge and still running it, so that's good to hear. And AJ, we very much appreciate all the time you spent with us tonight, and we want to wish you the best on your career, and hopefully one day we won't just see you on Tout on WWE. We'll see you actually in the ring wrestling. And like I said, we want to wish you the best.
Well, thank you guys very much for having me on. I had a blast. And hopefully you're right. Hopefully the next time we chat, I can say that I am a WWE superstar.
Cool, man.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Easy, man.
There he goes, everybody. AJ Kirsch. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, and we have right on cue, we have our other co-host on the line. Couture, what's going on, Couture?
Not much. Did he ever take responsibility for that woman's baby?
you're thinking of the wrong AJ, unfortunately.
Too many AJs in the fucking business.
There are a lot of AJs in
the business. All the AJs are awesome, though. Right?
Yeah, okay. I could do without the skip night day. She's about to get on my last nerve.
But, Couture, before we get started, I am getting sick and tired of you bad-mouthing the Von Erich Iron Claw. It was one of the deadliest weapons in all of pro wrestling. You said, who did the Claw ever beat? Well, I'll tell you who the Claw beat. There was a young David Von Erich wrestling in St. Louis, and he was going up against Harley Race, and Harley Race said, there's no way this punk will beat me. He could even have his dad as his partner, because that's the only way he would have a chance against the NWA world champion. And they went into the ring, and not only did David Von Erich win without ever tagging in his dad, he put the Iron Claw on Harley Race, the world champion, and put him down. So that's who the Von Erich Claw fucking beat.
The person
works.
You know, it's
not a word. Harley Race was legit.
Somebody told Harley Race, you take the claw and you stay down for 3 seconds, and that's what happened.
That's not what happened. It was a pain, and there was blood coming down. I saw it.
Well, just like I said, like the claw is like a move like Craig would put on his son when they were wrestling or something. His son would laugh at it because he knows how fucking stupid it is.
I put it on my side, as a matter of fact.
You've never met Craig. Craig is huge, and he has this like giant like paw, and I'm sure he could engulf his child's entire head with his hand. And
yes, but I doubt he's going to crush his head. I doubt he's going to really actually crush his face or anything.
I was fake beating him up in the store last night, and people were glaring at me like I was beating the child. I do a fine job pulling my
and the whole family's overrated.
I gave him the big boot, but he's only like, you know, 3.5 feet tall, so it's not really a big boot. It's just kind of a, you know, small boot.
I will say this. I mean, I'm not a professional wrestler, and I haven't taken, like, dozens of workshops from different people, but there was one WrestleMania where I kind of just turned and saw your giant fist coming straight at my face. I'll be honest, it kind of scared the shit out of me for a second.
I didn't touch you, though, did I?
No, but it's still very scary.
Yeah, I don't work anymore, but I can still pull a punch, I'll tell you what.
But we got 9 minutes. Well, I got probably. Well, actually, I got a few more minutes because we're actually meeting. The thing I'm going to is not too far from here. But basically, Katrina, you were talking about. I guess you had a morning of the week, and you also had something else. You want to go ahead and do those now?
No, because I didn't have time to get them done.
No. Wow. And I had all my intro ready and everything.
Well, I was just gonna, because if we were only going an hour, I didn't have time to look up, like, this week in music. I got the moron of the week, but y'all probably already talked about it.
Yeah, we already talked about her.
Yeah.
that's just the craziest story because, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Nobody's been fired for
getting
a DUI.
If she's going to bribe the cop, she messed up, okay? She maybe would have had a better chance had she gone in other directions. But you can't say I'm going to give you $10,000 because that involves having to go to the bank or this or that. It's not a transaction that happens underneath the table. It takes work. And the cop's like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm going to let you off. How am I going to get my $10,000? Now, had she said, hey, let me take you in the back of the car and, she might have got away with it because she would have got away with it for me. I mean, I would have let her go. But
you give her the breathalyzer,
She took the wrong, breathalyzer.
Yeah,
she took the wrong direction and really blew it. And then, you know, I mean, it's probably the first time she's ever even been in any trouble because she's probably panicking because it's not that big a deal. I mean, yes, you're in trouble. It's going to cost you some money, some fines, and all that crap. But plenty of WWE wrestlers have gotten DUI.
Nobody's been fired for it either.
Mike Mondo got fired for it, but he's pretty much the only one. But everyone else, Alex Riley, I think
there's been like four or five people that happened too since then, so that haven't been fired. So I mean, Santino, Alex Riley, guys like that. So
yeah.
If she wouldn't have said anything, she'd probably been fine. But, you know, the company, they can't. It's a public company. You can't be bribing police officers.
That's true. The least of her problems is the drunk driving. The bad one is the bribing.
Yeah. So, and it's because, I mean, she was good at her job. I mean, it's not like she was directing her to work. She was doing, being one of the Funkadactyls.
Not taking bumps.
Yeah, she was excellent. She, I mean, very beautiful, hot girl. I mean, she is fine, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of a shame. I mean, it was so funny because I was just thinking the other day, it's like after they fired Christina and Evelise, I'm thinking, you know, the one that just was like the joke of the show, because who can ever forget the moment with Stone Cold where he's just speechless, you know, from her answer. And, you know, and we should have made a drop of that for the show. But
yeah, we should have.
Yeah, I mean, but she was the one that was going to have the most success. I found that kind of funny. And now it seems like no one. I mean, it's just like it's it's like they're treating it like a failed experiment and ridding themselves of everybody. But the thing is, there was talent in that show. Like, Evelise was, you know, Dave Meltzer said she was an awesome worker in SCW, and she was beautiful. I saw, like, some photos from, like, a bikini contest with all the girls, and she was hotter than all of them, including Eddie Guerrero's daughter. I mean, just, she was incredible. And then, I don't know how Christina was doing, but, like, but you know, they're both gone. And you know, Christina had an ace in the hole. Her sister's, you know, there. So, you know.
Right.
And then we all know what happened with Andy. He failed the drug test and then got fired after they did, like, those couple promos, and that was pretty much it after McMahon slapped him after he won. And
yeah. You know, it's like the gut check thing that they're doing in TNA right now. Unless they actually elevate somebody and actually show that the quote-unquote experiment works, it's not going to work. And it didn't work with Tough Enough. If they do another season, they need to push the winner to the moon. That way it'll get over and it'll give more interest in what WWE is putting out.
It's a shame. It's a real shame that Rima had no chance physically of winning the competition, because let's say Rima did have some wrestling school background or something. She could probably be the premier diva right now, considering, you know, Kelly's leaving, the Bellas are gone. I mean, she could have been a big star, but, you know, unfortunately she started from scratch, and, you know, that just wasn't enough to get her going.
She put toilet paper in her pants to run the ropes because it hurt too much.
I don't blame her. I wouldn't want that to get marked up at all.
I felt sorry for that gut-check guy last night when they pointed out his wife and kid at ringside.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because I knew he wasn't. I knew he wasn't going to get picked. I knew he wasn't going to, you know, get a deal or anything. Because he's horrible. But I don't know. I feel bad for pointing out his family in the front row. Because that's what you do when you're going to say yes. So, you know. So.
Yeah, but yeah, that is pretty hardcore. I mean, it's one thing to show them at the beginning, but to cut to them when they did, I didn't see it. But from what I hear, as soon as they said he should, like, get out or whatever, they cut right to that's why do you have to get them involved? I mean, they're banking on the man of the family, you know, to try and, you know, maybe improve their lives by getting this contract on TNA. And, you know, basically, you know, it's one thing for the performer to have to go through that on live TV, but it's another thing for his wife and family to do it. So that was Ariane's the moron of the week, but TNA production is the douchebag of the week.
Here's something different. I'll do a great man of the week for this week. Because I haven't really liked this Chael Sonnen, because I think he's a goofball with all these weird-ass promos. He says shit, like, just to get attention, shit that makes no sense. But I saw his advertisement for this Mean Street Pizza, the John Jones special.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I howled with laughter.
Yeah, chicken pizza. Chicken pizza.
Chicken and cheese, and it comes with a six pack of beer, delivery available with no DUIs.
Yeah.
And hurry before we run out of the chicken and it gets canceled. So I thought that was tremendous. That was the best. This week was the best MMA story I've read in a long time. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad, too, because I had big plans for this this weekend, and unfortunately,
well,
they were all dashed.
Like crap, big plans of getting paid.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. What were your plans, Craig?
Well, as obviously, we have a festival here in Seattle. It's a weekend music festival. It's called Bubber Shoot. I was on the fence about either taking in UFC tomorrow night, but now it looks like I'll be heading to Seattle to see Jane's Addiction. So that's my plans now.
Yeah,
so
Jane still got that addiction, huh? It's been a while.
Well, Jane. You know. So yeah, I'm heading up there, and you know, it's a cool music festival. It lasts all 3 days, and Tony Bennett's actually playing tomorrow as well. I'm half tempted to go up there and check that out.
I would go just to hear him sing Crazy Train.
I didn't know he did a cover of that.
He did that for the Osbourne show, didn't he?
Yeah, for the intro for the Osbourne show was Tony, Tony Bennett being Crazy Train. It was honestly, it's better than Ozzy's version. It is incredible.
Okay, I that'd be cool. I will scream that like most people scream Freebird. Yeah, so
Tony Bennett should cover every badass 80s hard rock glam song.
Yeah, tomorrow's a good day. They've got Jane's Addiction and Coyote or Goaty. Anyway, this newer band that I kind of dig, and also Tony Bennett, and then Skrillex is closing out the show on Monday. But I think I'm gonna skip Skrillex. I'm not a dubstep fan. I'll leave it at that.
Katrina, do you have any weekend plans for Labor Day weekend?
No, not right now. I don't. Probably just gonna relax, take it easy.
Fair enough.
Watch some Star Trek and Space Nine.
I really don't have any plans. Just tonight, I have a date. I'm actually going out with a white girl tonight. So,
why you gotta say that she's white?
She's white.
Well, why you gotta say that? Like she matters or something?
Honestly, most of the girls that I go out with down here are Hispanic or Latina, whatever you want to call them.
Well, that's not that big of a difference.
Well, we'll see. She was actually in the high school of this girl. She was a country girl.
Now, if it was where I lived and I said I'm dating a black girl, you'd see all the heads turn. that's just a part of the country I'm from, though.
Speaking of your part of the country, we got to send out best wishes to one of our biggest listeners, Rodney, who unfortunately had to go through the hurricane. And I think his town, which didn't get it that bad during Katrina, got it pretty good. I mean, he's I'm not going to get into it because it's not really my story to tell. But there was some damage to his home, but luckily his family and everyone is all right. So shout out to Rodney and to everyone down there who had to go through this stupid hurricane.
Yeah, and what a weird coincidence. Pete, Rodney's buddy, who he always comes to Mania with him, was actually in your hometown when the stupid thing blew in, and was on his way back home, and it was just hanging out over their town. The storm just kept dumping on him. And Pete's driving home probably going, please move on.
Well, we were supposed to hook up that night and hang out because it was like only free time because he says they keep him pretty busy. But his flight was supposed to be the next day, but they canceled it because of course the weather. So he just decided to just rent a car and then drive out there. So I'm sure by the time he got there, I'm sure it was still raining, but hopefully it was nowhere near as bad. And I know he's not here. He's actually like a couple hours away from Ronnie, so he might have not have got he's just wherever he's from might not have got it so bad. I know Barack from the board, he's in Louisiana, and he got a lot of rain, but they didn't get it too bad, luckily. So hopefully Pete didn't have to doesn't have any like problems or anything. I was actually really hoping to hang out with him and make have a replay of his Matt Hardy incident from Mania this Saturday.
No. You guys are banned from hanging out at Mania weekend. I don't think he remembers most of Friday night.
he came to by the time we had dinner with Lance Storm.
I'm sure when he's replaying that in his mind, I'm sure that there's like a big flash, in the... And it just says scene missing, and then it moves on to the next frame, and then the next frame, and then it goes scene missing again.
He'll always have me and Ronnie to remind him, and I just won't take any more brownies.
Fair.
But actually, guys, I really need to start getting ready. You guys can actually keep going even if I'm off the show, because I can actually push the button to continue the show if you guys. If Katrina, you want to go a few more minutes?
Well, we can end it now. If I ain't got nothing else to talk about, though.
Okay, so you don't have anything else you want to talk about at all right before we go in there?
No.
Okay, Craig, any last words before we go?
Hey, everybody, have a safe and happy holiday weekend. Throw something on the barbecue for crying out loud.
Cool. I'm fixing to sit back in my easy chair for a little bit and unbutton my pants because I just got back from Joe's Crab Shack.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
Yes, it was. And I'm going to take a nap.
I like Red Lobster better, but yeah. Or Sea Island's pretty good. But let me go ahead and throw in the theme song, and we will be back next week. And
Throw out the plugs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. Everyone check out AngryMerch.com. You can always download the Stream Merch Show at AngryMerch.com, along with a lot of other shows. And so everyone check out AngryMerch.com. And, of course, you can always hear us at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrere. And you can hear older shows at www.blogtalkradio.com/Edwards-Laredo, and you can hear older shows, or you can just go to angrymerch.com and get all our shows from the very beginning, 4 years' worth there with some of the best gifts in the wrestling business. So everyone check out our shows and come back next week, and we will have something to talk about or something to do or whatever, but something will be going on next week. And we'll
somebody will do something stupid for us to talk about next week.
That's almost guaranteed. There's a lot of morons in wrestling, and they always step up one at a time, week by week. So we'll have plenty to talk about.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go, hook him up! Tonight.